hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having an absolutely amazing day today. A lot of crazy stuff going on, as always. And how are you doing today, Ted?
Oh, I'm blessed, Austin. Absolutely wonderfully blessed. This is the day the Lord hath made. The weather here is absolutely incredible. I got this morning, it was 56 degrees, clear blue skies, no chemtrails, low humidity. I thought, whoa, this is like, you know, January weather, and we're having it, you know, in April. So this is really, really nice. I love it. By the way, my deepest condolences to the French people whose monument, basically the Notre Dame Cathedral, is like their event with 9/11 and the trade towers in the United States. People have no idea what that monument means to the people in Paris and into France in general. Now, I like the country of France. I don't like the Parisians. Never have, never will. The Parisians are extremely arrogant and horrible people, but they're also the same people doing the Yellow Vest protests, and they're also the people that are trying to stand up against Macron, the French president, put in by the Rothschilds, who said he will rule France as if he was a Greek god, if he were a Greek god. And the sad part about all of this is that they had to do something, I guess, Austin, to slow down the Yellow Vest protesting, or this could have been an accident because of the reconstruction or the renovating of Notre Dame Cathedral, which is in bad, bad condition. I've been there multiple times. I've walked through Notre Dame with their, in fact, I believe you have too, Austin, with their narrow spires going up into the staircases. It's very, very tight, very confined, and very, very touristy. A lot of people, thousands and thousands of people go through it every single day, except for in the winter times when it's freezing cold there in France. But the reality is this is a major symbol of the French people. And they love doing symbology and destruction of symbology. And since they took down the Confederate monuments to so many different states in the United States, they understand what Notre Dame means to the French people. So this is a major deal. This is a major deal. This 850-year-old church, part of it was saved after hours of battling the blaze. And now basically Macron saying the world has to come together and pay for the rebuilding of this. It's kind of like the people in Venice when they said the world has to come together and save Venice. It's always like these states that are broke or have spent all their money on political correctness are now basically saying, we need help. But if this fire was started by the Islam community, chances are we will never know, because if we did find out, it would be a major, major problem, because there would be rioting all over France. Remember, the Muslims continue to riot and to burn things and to break things in Paris. We just don't hear about it. You get it from the inside news, in addition to all these other areas in Europe where they're going into, including the raping of many European women. It just continues on and on and on. Now, what folks don't realize is this. You say, well, why in the world would they start doing all of this stuff and start doing all this stuff? Guys, Catholic churches are being desecrated across France and across Europe, and the officials are claiming not to know why. They know exactly why. France has seen a spate of attacks against Catholic churches since the start of this year. It's been going on for more than the start of this year. And the vandalism that has included arson and desecration. Vandals have smashed statues, knocked down tabernacles, scattered and destroyed the Eucharist, and torn down crosses, sparking fears of a rise in anti-Catholic sentiment in the country. Now, why is this happening? Let me tell you why. The Catholics were the ones who drove the Moors or the Muslims out of Europe in the 1400s. And the last Moor stronghold was in Spain at Alhambra. Austin's been there. I've been there. And we were there at the palace where Queen Isabella actually gave Columbus the money in order to come to the New World in 1492. All of this stuff is basically based in Catholicism. The Catholics and the Moors and the Catholics and the Jews have been at war, the three major world religions, for many, many centuries. They've been in war of words and wars in which they went and killed each other by the millions. This is not something that's been, you know, hidden in the history books. Now you say, well, why in the world would they burn down an altar or burn down Notre Dame? And how would Notre Dame burn? Well, I'm glad you'd ask. Notre Dame had hundreds of huge oak trees that had been cut. It took hundreds of years to build this cathedral. And the entire beams across the top were being, the buttresses were being held up by huge oak beams along with concrete masonry work. This oak is 800 years old. It's extremely brittle and extremely dry and very easy to burn. It's like tinder in a campfire. And so if a right spark or a right thing starts on it, that's why these stone structures burn so easy. It's the same reason when the temple was burned in Jerusalem and torn down by the Romans, it burned so easily. and the first temple burned so easily. And that's why, you know, they say Troy burned so easily, because they used the large timbers along with the masonry structures. Now, why would the Muslims go in if it was the Muslims? I'm not saying that it was. I personally believe that it probably was, or it was a false flag using Muslims, or it was just something to destroy the symbology of Paris or of France in general, to try to break the necks of the Jewish people. Why, or not Jewish people, the French people. Now, why would this happen? If you go to Wikipedia and you look under the destruction of the cultural heritage by ISIL or ISIS, it says deliberate destruction and theft of cultural heritage being conducted by the Islamic State of Iraq. And it gives you a list of over and over and over again. Now, to the Muslims, they don't like images showing, you know, their prophet. They don't like images showing prophets or kings or priests. They don't like any of this stuff. This is all considered graven images to them based off the second commandment. And what's interesting about this is they have destroyed all kinds of Muslim sites, along with all types of Christian sites, all types of Catholic sites, and all types of Jewish sites. When we were in Alhambra years ago, you know, I asked, because there really were no photographs or paintings on the walls. Not that they don't have good Muslim artists, because they do, but they don't like graven images like a statue of Mary or a statue of St. Peter or a statue of St. Matthew. They don't like this stuff. They consider it to be a blasphemy against God. And even in their mosques, even at Alhambra, which was built by the Moors, the Muslims, there was a lot of geometric art, but there were no pictures of people like in paintings or in mosaics or anything like that on the wall. And the mosaics, they're afraid that if they try to make it perfect, and only God can make something perfect, that it would be a blasphemy against God. So what they'll do, in the corner of one mosaic or the side of one mosaic, they'll make a mistake on purpose, so it won't be perfect. They don't like graven images. And so they destroyed a lot of cultural heritage sites. They destroyed a lot of different sites that were thousands and thousands of years old in the Middle East, where they take over certain cities and certain strongholds. And it's what they do. So if it's any surprise to anybody in the United States or in France that when you bring in people with 59 IQs out of Somalia that are hardcore Muslims, or other areas of Africa which they may have a higher IQ but not much, they're going to basically come in and see this as a cultural site that needs to be degraded or to be burned down. These types of activities are going to start occurring at all of the major cultural heritage sites throughout Europe, whether they're going to be by accident or by somebody really doing it, whether they're Muslims or basically a false flag person, who knows. But this stuff's going to start happening all over Europe now. And a lot of these beautiful old facilities and sites that are religious, basically artifacts, are going to be taken down, just like they've taken down the Confederate statues all over the south of the United States. This is what these guys do. They want to destroy everything that God made. Now you're saying, well, God didn't make these. The Catholic Church is corrupt to the core. Yes, that's true. The Catholic Church has been corrupt to the core for many, many years. And, you know, the former Pope actually came out this past week and said that the reason the Catholic Church was corrupt is because of the 60s, because of the cultural sexual revolution that occurred in the 60s. And, of course, that's when Vatican II happened. They got rid of a lot of the stuff they had been doing for 1,000, 2,000 years and changed a lot of the stuff they had been doing in the Catholic Church. The problem is this. The Catholic Church and pedophilia and sodomy against these young altar boys has been going on since the beginning. I mean, you've always had perversion in every religious, cultural group. They always have weirdos. We have weirdos in the Christian church. We have multiple Christian ministries that are run by homosexuals. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, just put it this way. I know that. And so there's just no way to, you know, to stop this. I mean, you could try to expose them. Some of them exposed, and they're still back on TV again. But it's just that people, as long as people are going to, so this is why I went into detail yesterday about who you should and shouldn't support as far as in Christian organizations. But guys, I'm going to be in Paris in a few weeks from now. Now, I should be reporting from Paris. I'll go live like you did, Austin, when you were at the shootings out in Vegas. I'll be reporting live from Notre Dame Cathedral. I'll be getting some videotape, posting it online, letting you guys see it and seeing what the real story is. I'll be interviewing people on the street about what happened, who they think did it. And we're going to figure this out together. You know, you guys are family, and we're going to do it together as far as what's happening over there. I'm going to go ahead and tour around France. I'm going to look at the older areas, the more cultural areas, the more, how should I say, historical areas. And I'm going to see what type of influence they're having in these areas and what this massive influx that Angela Merkel has brought to Europe of these illegal, well, they're not illegal over there. They've been invited in, of these unwelcome guests, has done to the culture and to the heritage of the one grace, the great continent of Europe. So we'll find out pretty quick. Also, what do you think about the Notre Dame burning? You've been there, and what do you think they're going to do about it? Or what do you think the cause was? What do you think?
I'm 100% what they're going to do about it, I don't know. I'm pretty confident from what I have seen over the last couple weeks and everything that occurred over the weekend. It's highly, highly probable that these are more Islamic attacks. You have to remember that, I mean, France is incredibly infiltrated with Muslim population now. I mean, it's insane. You know, I talked to one of our friends that they went over there on their honeymoon, and they were expecting this big, giant, great, amazing Paris. It was going to be beautiful. It was going to be great. And they got there, and they said all it was tent cities and mattress cities and Muslims lined up down almost every single roadway that wasn't, like, right downtown as far as you could go. And every time they left a hotel, they were told, expressly, do not go out after dark. You guys basically will not come back. And they're going, this is Paris. You know, we wanted to go out, and they're like, do not go out after dark. You need to be wherever you're going to be at dark. Do not be running around at dark. And they were like, oh my gosh. And so they ended up cutting their trip short to Paris and ended up going, I think, up to Norway or so, one of the countries, something a little different. Well, I mean, as a lot of people, if you've already looked, there have been multiple fires recently. I mean, apparently, from what I saw with NBC, they said there were also three other Orthodox cathedral fires the exact same day around the world over this weekend. One was in Russia and two were in Australia. So this was not something that was accidental. If you guys remember 2 weeks ago in Philadelphia on March 29th, there was another one, the North Philadelphia church, that was caught on fire. These are not happening accidentally, in my opinion. These are happening very, very quickly, and they're happening all over the world, and they're happening very coordinated. I think it's multi-pronged. A, you're dealing with a unbelievably hateful religion that hates anybody that's not Muslim. I mean, that's a fact. You don't have to, there's no arguing there. Islam culture is not religion of peace. You can read that in the Quran. And we also see, almost at the same time, that, in my opinion, the Muslim population is being used as a tool by the New World Order to try to eradicate as much of Christianity as they can under the guise of Islam. So essentially, they're using the hatred and anger and ignorance of Islam as a tool to try to wipe out Christianity as much as they can. We've seen this all over the United States now, where the Christian population is at pretty much open game, open season. You know, you can pretty much joke about Christianity, you can joke about Jesus, you can do whatever you want and make fun of Christianity, blaspheme it, cuss it, belittle it, make fun of it on TV shows, as we've seen with hundreds of TV shows now, making fun of Jesus. But as you guys remember, Muhammad's off limits. It's almost, to me, like Islam is part of the, almost the right arm of the New World Order, in the attempt that they essentially are told, you guys will be a part of this New World Order, not realizing that they're actually serving Satan, but at the same time, they're being used as a tool to try to break down the Christian heritage, so to speak. You guys remember I talked about this a while back ago. And this is something that a lot of people found to be insignificant. To me, I found it to be very significant because it showed us the realm and the level of which the mainstream media is willing to belittle and blaspheme Christ, but yet they will go out of their way to protect Islam. Is two cartoon episodes, including one with South Park and one with Family Guy. And I don't endorse either one of these shows. I'm using them because they were very, very specific instances where this is quite troubling to me. And that both of those shows are pretty much open game on everybody. They make fun of everybody, primarily Christianity, on those cartoons. They're very secular, they're very heathen, they got a lot of bad stuff in them. Well, they came out, if you guys remember, this is back, I think, 2007, 2008, I don't remember, I don't have it in front of me right now, but they consistently make fun of Jesus, all the stuff. Well, South Park made fun of Muhammad one episode. I mean, made fun of him. And this Islamic community pitched a fit, wrote death threats, said that they were going to get the people that wrote South Park, they were basically going to crucify all of them, they were going to butcher them. Well, then Family Guy said, okay, cool, you guys want to play this game? We're going to do a big funny depiction of Muhammad on our Family Guy episode. Well, the Family Guy producers started getting so much hate mail, and they actually had multiple people contact them directly, basically saying, if you release this episode unedited, we are going to go in and execute all of you for depicting Muhammad in a nasty light. And so, of course, they ran the Family Guy episode and blacked it out with a big black box, and then, you know, said, oh, we can't talk about it. This is what we're seeing, is where Islam is protected and Christianity is open season. Now we're seeing all these cathedrals across the country and including the world that are setting on fire, and this is not an accident in my opinion whatsoever. I've been to these cathedrals. The security is very effective there. They don't just have people running in and out with lighters and torches and fires and gasoline and everything else to do this stuff. They're usually pretty restrictive on where you can go, and you have to have a guide and so forth. So to see these things happening is heartbreaking, because a lot of these cathedrals, including this one, they were there for a very long time. They have a very long, long heritage. But as Dad said, the Catholics and the Muslims have been at war for a significant period. I mean, you can go right back to the Crusades if you want to do some research on that. And so this is what's going to continually happen. And people have to understand that Islam is not our friend. It is not a religion of peace. And it is not something that has ever in the history of human beings ever assimilated effectively and peacefully with Christians. Everybody has to understand that and get that in their head, Dad.
Well, you're absolutely right, and it's not going to get better. It can't, because they want to convert people to Islam. I mean, they're very, very, very good promoters of their religion and their faith. They really are. They really like to proselytize. I know I used to go to a restaurant here locally that was owned by a Muslim man, and I thought, well, okay, well, the food's pretty good. It's organic. It's wild salmon. I'll have this. And you know, we used to talk, and there were actually things we agreed on. He was actually very awake as far as politically. And then finally, one day he walks in and gives me a copy of the Quran. I don't think you even know this, Austin. Walks in and gives me a copy of the Quran and says, I want you to read this. This is important for me that you read this Quran and you let me know what you think about what the Quran says. And I'm like, dude, I'll take the Quran. I'm actually interested in what it says, but you know, myself, are you proselytizing me? I mean, what the heck? You want me to become a Muslim? And see, Christianity will do the same thing. They'll walk up to somebody, they'll try to get them saved, they'll give them a copy of the Bible. Got it. I'm not condemning him for proselytizing. I'm letting you guys know that they're really, really going out of their way to proselytize like Christians are supposed to do. I give them credit for their multiple prayers every day as they turn towards Mecca. I got that. I mean, I have no problem with them doing any of that. But Austin, you're right. It's very difficult for a really hardcore Muslim to assimilate. Now, I'm not going to say they can't, because I've seen it. I've seen Muslims that have actually been in Western society, and they've done very, very well. The problem is when you get a certain percentage of Muslims in a certain area, they start voting in Sharia law, and they start trying to force everybody into caliphates, and basically... That's right. That's exactly right. And so, you know, now we have this Muslim guy who supposedly throws this kid off a, you know, 40-story platform off of, you know, multiple, you know, in the mall. I mean, you know, for no reason, because I guess the kid maybe was yelling or he was mad at the kid or whatever, but the kid, this guy had already been thrown out of the mall multiple times. But again, when you get somebody with a very low IQ, they don't really have any reasoning skills. We have a guy several houses down who used to be over here. You could tell he has some kind of learning disorder. And he would walk around and kind of stalk the neighborhood. And Austin remembers this. He was like a Hispanic guy. But he wasn't harmful, but he just looked harmful. He's a big old guy. And he would walk around and vandalize stuff. And finally, you know, we started calling the police on him, and the police show up, and he just sit down and be quiet, and you know, and whatever. They'd haul him back off to his home that he escaped from, and I haven't seen him in a long time, so hopefully they've moved. But the reality is, you know, you can't really have a conversation with them. You can't really talk to them. They're told what to do. They get convinced about what to do. They just do it. And so this is what's important, that we understand this, guys. The cultural degradation that's occurring globally is being done by the international banking cartel. You gotta trace the roots. Here's the roots. Okay, Notre Dame Cathedral is burned. Okay, why? Well, let's assume it's gonna be because of a symbology thing. Let's assume it's going to be because somebody is mad at the French people. Let's assume it's because somebody doesn't want Christianity or Catholicism to be promoted. Let's assume it's one of those things. Well, Who would that person be? Well, that would be George Soros and Angela Merkel and the rest of the people bringing in other cultures into the United States and into Europe. So then, well, you ask yourself a question. Well, who's supporting these guys? Well, that would be the International Bank, the International Monetary Funds, and the central banks. Well, who's supporting those guys? Well, that would be the Rothschilds. And, of course, there's a host of other names because they've been bred in with other families over the last hundreds of years. But it would be that group who are also the Sabbatean Kabbalists, who would then they tie that back in. They, remember, they control everything. They control the CIA. They control our congressional leaders. They control our government through the Exchange Stability Fund, through the taking over of our treasury in 1934. They control all of it. So are these the guys that are doing it? Well, yeah. And then these are the guys controlled by Sabbatane Zvi from 1666 who claimed to be the Jewish Messiah, false Messiah, who wanted to turn everything upside down on the planet, which is what the Bible says is going to happen. So it always goes back. You've got to follow that chain. See, what you don't want to do is go, you know, oh, it's just the Muslims. No, 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 no. The Muslims, they were in Africa. They were in the Middle East. They were dragged in. They were dragged in for the endless wars of the Middle East, for the Greater Israel Project. They were dragged in through the taking over of all of these countries and the bombing of their homes into rubble. They don't want to leave Syria. They don't want to leave Iraq. They don't want to leave. They were forced out because they were getting bombed. I mean, if my neighborhood was getting bombed every week, I'd find someplace else to live. I'd be like, you know, I got to go, man. This place sucks. Excuse the vernacular, but that's awful. I don't want to have to be in a bomb shelter the rest of my life. I mean, why am I living here? Why am I doing this? See, and this is the problem that you run into. And again, it goes back to the cultural degradation. This morning I had a dear friend contact me, and he has a 20-year-old son. And basically the son was, you know, has all kinds of health issues. Not health issues, mental health issues. I mean, he's a liar. He's a druggie. He's a doper. He's an alcoholic. And let me give you a little bit of a hint for everything for you guys first. Number one, sometimes it doesn't matter how you raise a child. It doesn't matter if you have that child in church every week and you pray with that child every day. When a child reaches the age, you know, 16, 17, 18, 19, sometimes 14, they start making their own decisions. And they have to make the decisions based upon their current experiences. Now, the reason that most people's lives peak when they're in high school, when they're 17, 18 years old, is that at that point their parents are still making decisions for them, and they haven't made enough bad decisions yet to destroy their own lives. I'm going to repeat that. The reason a lot of people's lives peak in high school is that their parents are still making decisions for them, and they haven't made enough bad decisions basically to destroy their lives yet. And you see these people in high school, they're basically top in the class, everybody loves them, and all of a sudden you see them 30, 40 years later, and they're like drug addicts or alcoholics or addicted to prescription drugs or whatever. And some of it's their fault, some of it's not their fault. Some of them have injuries, et cetera, that have happened to them. Some of them just made really bad choices and bad decisions. But here's the thing, and I've learned this after raising four children and not knowing how to raise kids. I'll admit that openly and publicly. If you guys, anybody, by the way, out there who basically says that they know how to raise children, it's almost always somebody who's never had kids. I just thought I'd mention that. Having had four kids, I will admit this freely, and I will say this. You have to let a child have enough autonomy to grow and make their own mistakes. You have to hopefully that has to happen with them before they reach the age of 18, before they begin to the point where they can be arrested. Hopefully they'll make enough good decisions to make themselves successful as far as in life for the rest of their life and not destroy their own lives. Okay? But when a person is 17, 18, 19, 20 years old and they're a perpetual liar, perpetual drug addict, you got to kind of look back at what happened and how they were enabled. My friend, his wife micromanaged the children all the way through high school. I mean, a helicopter parent hovering over this child to the point of physically assaulting the child when he's 16, 17 years old, hitting him in the face with her fist if he didn't do exactly what she wanted him to do. Well, now here he is at the age of 19, and he's been basically programmed to lie continually to try to cover up what he's been doing because he doesn't want to be assaulted again. Think about what I just said. So it's important as parents that we train their children up in the way they should go, and the board says when they're old, they're not depart from it. But we also have to remember we can't just micromanage them their entire adult life. Sooner or later, you've got to let them start making their own decisions and stand on their own. Now, the trick is with parenting, there is a trick, is that you have to gradually let the rope out. Let it out, let it out, let it out. Let them rappel down that wall a little bit at a time and make sure you hold on to the rope until they get to the bottom, until they know how to handle this and make decisions for themselves. If you can do that for them, you can train them how to be an efficient, effective, you know, child, young adult parent for themselves. But guys, it's important, and I'm going to say this again. I told my friend this morning. I said, it's important when they're young, you got to take them to church. train them up in the way they should go when they're older and I'll depart from it. Have them in church on a regular basis, even when they're young. Have them in Sunday school, have them in puddles, have them in classes, have them hanging out with the youth groups, have them hanging out with good Christian friends. But also remember this, be careful who they hang out with in the youth groups, because a lot of people who take their children to church weren't raising them properly when they were young, and the kids have made a lot of bad choices and bad decisions, and now they're slinging dope and passing drugs and everything else in the youth group at church. Say, oh, it doesn't happen. It happens. Trust me, it happens, especially in larger churches in which you don't know the other parents that are there. Be very careful who your children associate with, because here's the thing, bad company corrupts good character. So that's a little sermonette I want to give you guys this morning, because I was dealing with that. Also, I had a college professor who's an administrator contact me this morning, and I've got the video in from Prager University that's basically now saying that if you say the wrong things or do the wrong things that you have, and you don't use the proper preferred pronoun, that you can actually go to prison and get fined. If you don't say he, she, so if you got the 6'4" hairy male walking in with a fake blonde wig with a beard, and he's in your classroom, and he's 18, 19 years old, and now he wants to be referred to as she, and you don't do it as a college professor, you can be fired or fined or kicked out. And there are all kinds of crazy things that they're doing out there with Jerry Brown in California concerning this very topic. And so this morning, I sent this video to one of my top administrators at a local college here. And here was her response back. She goes, "Our educational systems need an overhaul in many ways. At our college, we are required to accept mentally challenged persons and then provide them the means to help them to be successful in getting a college degree, a diploma. This affects the quality of every student's education." Now think about what I just said. So if you take this person who basically has a mental problem or is very, very low IQ, and they happen to get a high school diploma because somebody gave them one, and they start college, now that teacher has to help that person get a college degree, which means they have to pass them. It doesn't matter if they get a D, they're going to still get a college degree and basically be able to be a teacher in another school. That's why we have a lot of teachers that are functionally illiterate, and they're such horrible, horrible teachers. The other day, it was funny, we were looking at a house that was for sale on a lake that we like here in Central Florida, and there was a local teacher who was there who owned the house, and the lady was a moron. You say, well, you can't say that about her. I just did. I just said she's a moron. I mean, she couldn't even think. I mean, it was ridiculous how just spacey she was. And we've all had teachers like that, that should have never been a teacher, and it should have never been involved, but they get pushed through the system. And we've talked about that already with affirmative action run amok and all the other things that are going on. But guys, we've got to think through what's happening in our culture. We have to think about how we're being culturally degraded. We have to think about what's happening in the educational systems. And now, if we don't use the proper pronoun, we go to jail, we can get fined, we can get fired. What the heck? It doesn't make any sense. This morning I was on a show, another talk show, and the guy asked me, he goes, well, I'm in the process of restoring Confederate monuments around the country, and we're going to restore all the Confederate monuments that were taken down times 10. And then he says, what do you think? And I said, it's never going to happen. And he says, what do you mean it's not going to happen? I said, because of cultural correctness. I said, there's no way you're ever going to allow the schools and the organizations and the parks and the recreational centers to put up monuments to Confederate soldiers ever again, because we're too politically incorrect for that. So what we've done is we've lost the ability to be the United States of America again. We become the United States of socialism. We become the United States of political correctness. We become the United States of everything's okay and you can't judge anyone or say anything, because now the thought police are out and they're going to control you. So yes, the monuments in Europe are going to continue to be burned. The monuments in Europe are going to continue to be destroyed, because those monuments represent history, and they don't want it representing history. They want this. It's so funny. The man who called me this morning with his son, who's the liar, who's the drug addict, who's, 19, 20 years old, his mother said to me, all the Confederate monuments need to be taken down. All of these things need to be put into museums and be told what they are as political racist symbols, because she's a communist. And here she's raising this child now who's so confused, he can't differentiate the truth from reality and the truth from the lie. It's sad that we've raised a group of people that are called snowflakes now, that can't take any criticism and they have no concept of what reality is. But guys, this is reality. Notre Dame Cathedral was just burned. 800-year-old church in Europe. And this reality is going to come upon Europe like the plague. What do you think, Austin?
No doubt about it. I mean, it's a cathedral that's got a lot of symbolism. It's pretty much from where France, from where the Crusades were launched. This is not coincidental that this thing happened right now, especially the week of Easter and Palm Sunday and everything else going on. I mean, it's very sad to see that. Also, too, in other news, I saw an article from journalist Gary Gelino, and he also did a YouTube video, which I thought was interesting because it kind of confirmed a lot of stuff that I've been looking at out in California. Ever since Lana went out there a couple weeks ago, I've been trying to figure out what is the long game with what they're doing in California. Obviously, we know California is pretty much been a beta test to see what they can get away with from a national standpoint than a state level. And Gary Gelino has reported that the mass migration into the U.S. is being orchestrated at a federal level now via his sources, who are pretending to try to put a stop to it. And it's interesting, this is what we talked about with Trump and a lot of the Republicans, how for 2 years they had the opportunity to pass a border wall. They didn't do it. Then the whole thing, beginning of the year, oh, we need to pass a border wall, we need to pass a budget. It was all cannon fodder. It was all smoke and mirrors. Gelino is saying that the declining birth rates and exodus from California are causing the population in California to shrink. Nevertheless, government-funded apartment building projects have been underway for the past few years for the anticipation of a vast growing population. Now, why would they be doing this? Because he even showed the article here that just came out last month, and it said California's birth rate dropped to the lowest level ever in 2016. Ever, as in the history of California ever. California's birth rate dropped to 12.4 births per thousand in California, the agency said. The last time the birth rate was even close to this was during the Great Depression, when it hit 12.6 per thousand in 1933. So the growth rate in California is now almost pre-1900 level. That's where it's at in California. That's the birth rate in California. Yet we're seeing all these apartments being built up. We're seeing all these California residences in these massive tent cities that I saw in a lot of the photos that Lana sent me a couple weeks ago. We're seeing all this stuff right now. So in spite of all the political speeches about stopping illegal immigration, we reported a couple weeks ago that there's over at least 100,000 illegal immigrants being detained every month by the Border Patrol and then safely released in the United States. Now, one part of the spending bill that we talked about, and I'm going to reiterate it last month, that President Trump signed into law, the spending bill made it illegal to deport any immigrant who might sponsor or an accompanying illegal alien child. So if an illegal immigrant who might sponsor an unaccompanied illegal alien child or who lives in a household where someone might else do so, yes, that is exactly what the law says. So essentially deporting illegal aliens now is virtually impossible, and Trump signed that into law. So we're seeing now the state of California building up all these apartments all over the state of California. We're seeing the tent cities growing at a massive population, which a huge portion of them are actually California residences that are living there. We're seeing the birth rate in California at its lowest level in the California history books, yet we're seeing more apartments coming up, and we're seeing massive amount of people going to that country. We're seeing the mass exodus of people leaving that country now. Everybody that pretty much has a brain is leaving that country as they see the writing on the wall, and they're going out east to either Texas or Colorado or Florida or wherever they want to go. I mean, I've talked about the other day, you can rent a U-Haul from Florida to California for like $600 because the U-Haul gets dropped off in California. Well, you can rent one to go out. They're super cheap. If you want to rent one to go from California to Florida, it's like $3,200. Same mileage, same amount of time. Where is it going? It's because everybody is leaving California. So that is exactly what we're seeing now. It appears that they're setting up California to be almost the base camp for a massive, massive illegal immigration. Immigrant, basically, sanctuary city, as they've already set it up. They've already told us. At the same time, we have China funding them significantly, buying up huge swaths of real estate in that country as well. As you guys know, they own huge portions of Hollywood and everything else. So we're seeing this subtle and slow invasion into this country is really what it is. I mean, it's, put it bluntly, it's an invasion into this country, and nobody's wanting to address it. And then, like I said, when I read that last month, and then I read it again today about how the bill that Trump signed into law makes it illegal to deport any immigrant who might possibly sponsor an unaccompanied illegal alien child. So what that basically means is, if somebody is arrested and they're going to be deported, they're going to be detained, all he has to say is, I'm sponsoring an illegal child, I'm sponsoring an unaccompanied minor, I'm sponsoring him. And that's it. Hands off. Let him go. Can't arrest him, can't detain him, can't deport him, nothing. Have to let him go. That's what it says in the bill. So that's what they signed, and that's what Trump signed, as I'm sure he was told that's what he had to sign. And now we're starting to see what's going on in California as they are actually building and prepping for a massive illegal invasion into California that's been going on for years. But in my opinion, it's something that's going to ramp up more aggressively in the next coming years as we see the Agenda 2030 United Nations platform start taking root in this country, though.
California was the most beautiful state in the country. I mean, it was nicer than Florida, except for some of the southern parts of Florida on the coastlines near the Keys. I mean, you know, that was unbelievable. That's still incredibly beautiful down there. But California, with the coastal highway and the mountains and the snow and all the stuff it had and the incredibly dry air and the cool temperatures, it was nice. I mean, I've been there many, many, many times. But what's happened is, you know, our globalism and political correct stuff in California has turned much of California into third world hellholes, including Seattle. So the same thing in Seattle because of this staunch liberalism when the communists get in control and take things. I mean, let me give you a few examples here. This is an article by Michael Schneider, and I'm going to read you part of it real quick. It says, once upon a time, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Seattle were three of the most beautiful cities in the entire world. No, it's hard to imagine because of what's happened in these three cities. And now he starts talking about the homeless people and what's going on in San Francisco. There's 28,000 homeless people in San Francisco. 28,000 guys. Now, what you don't know is a huge drug capital. The city last year handed out 5.8 million free syringes. I'm going to repeat that. 5.8 million free syringes for their heroin addicts and other drug addicts and other things that they inject. I mean, think about that for a second. That would suggest a homeless population far in excess of 28,000, where you got a lot of people living in one house running drugs. Now think about how that's affecting this. Over the past 8 years, more than 118,000 reports of human feces in the streets have been filed with city authorities. In addition to the endless piles of poop, the drug addicts are also endlessly committing property crimes in order to pay for their drug habits. Each year, there are more than 6,000 property crimes per 100,000 residents in San Francisco. That's huge, by the way. This is about four times the rate property crime in New York City has. And so this goes on and on and on. A wealthy liberal neighborhood in San Francisco, whose residents cast most of the votes for Hillary Clinton in 2016 presidential election, is fighting against the proposal to build a new homeless tent city near their gated mansions. I mean, of course, they don't want them next door to them. Why would they? They're communists, but they're socialists, and they say you should let everybody live next to you, but they don't want them to live next to them. Los Angeles has the second largest population of homeless, 55,000, which I guarantee you is much, much higher than that. And the homeless population in L.A., as often talked about minutes ago, has surged 75% in the past 6 years. And now the drugs are bad, the crime are bad, and all of the MS-13 gangs are bad. Seattle is also dying. It's got the same type of problem going on in Seattle. And all of these are sanctuary cities. These are bastions of the liberal left that have basically bankrupted themselves on social welfare programs and accepting everybody from everywhere to come to their country, to come to their cities, to support them freely and basically give them everything they want, including syringes and needles. So this is what happens with liberalism. Now, I have to say one more thing. Austin commented on the fact that, you know, we've had a massive reduction in the birth rates in California. These are birth rates that are being recorded through the general population as far as in hospitals, et cetera. This does not account for the birth rates associated with the people who are living in these camps and all of the illegal aliens who are having children in the country or in the city or in the state who can't afford to go to the hospital, don't make it to the hospital, and are having them through midwifery or having them on their own at home or on the trail to California. You have no idea what they're doing, but many of them immediately are registered then as American citizens. But what we have to also understand, this is an all-out crime. This is an all-out breakdown of the cultural fabric of the United States and California. Because what they want to do is the white people there are no longer reproducing at a point that can basically sustain the population. They know that. They've made sure of that with Gardasil. They've made sure of that with fluoride. They've made sure of that with all of the drugs these people are being given. They're making sure of that because everybody gets a cell phone in their pocket, which lowers sperm count with these guys and messes up the ovaries of the women who wear them, hold the phones in their back pockets. They make sure of that. And then they want to, what they want to do, it goes right back over to the Frankfurt School that we talked about a month or so ago, in which they want a cultural degradation of the society that created the people and the men that fought World War I and World War II. They want a sheeple society, a group of weaklings to come in and do what they're told to do. And this is the democratic platform, the communist socialist platform. This is what they're doing in the United States and other third world countries because they want that one world government. You've got to take it back to that every single time. They don't want white people to have babies. There, I can't say it any more clearly than that. They don't want white people to teach their boys how to shoot and how to hunt and how to be men. They don't want that. They want guys that are basically wimpy, that are soy boys, that like to wear skirts and have hormone injections. I mean, look in California right now. We've got these doctors and these clinics doing hormone therapy on 8-year-old children, experimenting on it under government subsidies. Well, instead of being broke and not be able to pay your bills in California, why don't you stop subsidizing things like that? But, okay, they can't do that because that continues to promote the cultural genocide that's being done to the United States here on a regular basis. Guys, it's so important to understand who's doing this, why they're doing it to you, and what the political end game is going to be. Donald Trump is not doing what Donald Trump said Donald Trump was going to do. Donald Trump is basically facilitating this entire breakdown of the American society while the sheep will continue to believe in Q, continue to believe in Trump, and continue to believe he's got their best interests at heart. He does not. He does not. It's the Benjamin Netanyahu Donald Trump ticket is what it is. Let's take another look at another story. Guatemala, Mexico border. Hostile and aggressive migrants are breaking their way into the border gate to force their way into Mexico. Mexico's trying to stop the Guatemalans from coming into Mexico. They just break the gates down. They decide they're not going to do any of that. They're not going to listen to any of that. Why should they? Toronto residents agree that Canadians should open their homes to refugees until they are asked to do so and to care for a needy migrant. And they say, no, we don't want to do that. Why should we do that? Let somebody else do it. This is, again, the liberal thought process. Students shocked to learn that illegals get an in-state discount tuition price in 18 states. In other words, 18 states you can go to school for free if you're illegal or get massive reduction of tuition costs. Another story, CBS promo for Good Fight TV show urges, CBS promo for the Good Fight TV show urges people to punch a Nazi in order to silence political opponents, okay? Here's who a Nazi is, okay? This is by G. Edward Griffin. The Good Fight published a promotional tweet with a short video featuring a black actor from the show saying, it's time to punch a few Nazis because some speech requires a visceral response. The left defines Nazis, listen, the left defines Nazis as conservatives, white males, Christians, and anyone who opposes them. So in other words, if you don't like the communist agenda of calling boys girls, you're a Nazi. The CBS later removed the tweet, which was clear for call for violence. A rhetoric from the left calling for violent attacks against Trump supporters receives zero coverage from the mainstream media. Why? Because they don't want to have it promoted that they're doing this, and yet they want to be subversive and work its way through the whole society. Another article. U.S. government actively importing millions of migrants from third world while pretending to oppose such action. This is Donald Trump. Journalist Gary Gilino reports that mass migration to the U.S. is being orchestrated at a federal level while pretending to be trying to stop it. That's why you can't see it change. Trump's lying. Gilino shows that declining birth rates and an exodus from California are causing the population to shrink. Nevertheless, government-funded apartment-building projects, which I also talked about earlier, are happening all over California to make room for all of the migrants that are being brought in. Another story. Detroit to become America's second Chinese-style surveillance city. Detroit Project Greenlight is a massive surveillance camera network with 1,000 cameras that spies on people at gas stations, retail stores, and in public housing. The city is also using cameras on streets. New Orleans is considered to be the first city in the U.S. to follow the Chinese model. The Chinese model is not the Chinese model. It's the Rothschild model. It's the group of people that want to do this. Now, remember, this is what's happening. I remember years ago, I was in England. There's over like 1 million cameras in London, in the outskirts of London in England, that monitor every single thing you do. You think I'm joking? Okay. I'm on an interstate in England one time. I'm going the wrong direction on the wrong road. And there's a big turnaround in the middle, just like a U-turn. I didn't know you could make a U-turn there, so I make a U-turn there and go back the other direction. Ha ha! I got a ticket in the mail 2 months later. Said you made an illegal U-turn. They got a video, and the camera was like a telephoto lens of my camera of my car, way off in the distance, zooming in on the doggone license plate. What the heck? And of course, since I had basically And then, remember, guys, this is 10 years ago. And Austin was with me when it happened. And what was crazy about all of this stuff, guys, think about it for a second. I said, I'm not going to pay it. I'm not going to pay it. Forget it. I'm not going to pay it. This was nonsense. It's in another country. Who cares? Well, they had my credit card information with the car rental. The car rental company automatically put it on my credit card with no choice. They discharged me. And you're like, what the heck? How'd they do that? Because they had my credit card information to pay for the car. And I looked in the contract, and sure enough, it said that in the event that I had got a ticket, they would put it on the credit card, and there was nothing I could do about it. And I signed it when I signed the agreement to rent the car. Same thing happened to me in Hungary a few years ago. I got a doggone ticket for not being on. There was like a $2 toll. Nothing was written in any language that I could understand it, which is my fault. I was in a foreign country. Had no idea it was a toll road. Get home, get two tickets, $150 each for you know not paying a $5 toll, $300 in tolls, and they automatically put it on the credit card. So when you go to foreign countries, please be aware, if you break the laws and they've got credit card information on you, they're going to charge you the tickets. It's just what they do. Now, if you're in your own car and you decide you're not going to do that, and you're not going to pay the bill, they will continue to harass you for years on end, sending you bills and never ending tickets, telling you they're going to seize everything you have and own in that country. And the reality is they really can't do that if you don't own anything, but nonetheless, they will continue to harass you. So is the New World Order. So is this New World system that we have found ourselves in that continually destroys things and makes us servants of the state. What do you think, Austin?
So it's gotten pretty wild. I mean, a lot of people don't fully understand where you're at with that until you start seeing stuff like this occur. And I mean, there's stuff like that. When I went up to Delaware 2 years ago for a wedding, me and Landon went up there, and you know, I had a rental car, and I was blessed I didn't get any tickets. I was very, very alert because I knew the law enforcement presence up there is insane because of, you know, Washington DC and everything else. But what's crazy is they have speed enforced ticket cameras. So they clock you with a camera, and if you're speeding, they take a photo of your tag and they send it to you. And I'm like, golly, I saw a sign, so I abruptly kept myself in the speed limit range because I'd never seen something so tyrannical before. Where if you're speeding, and they have this in Europe, by the way, as well. Europe's had this for decades now. The United States has just done it on a small scale. They have the same thing with red light tickets. You know, you run a red light, they send you a ticket in the mail. And then they found that down here in Florida, which I was very proud of, the company called the Ticket Clinic. It's a law firm down here in Florida. Actually filed a huge lawsuit with Broward County down there, and one had a lot of the red light tickets taken down, actually all over the state of Florida because of this ruling, because what they found was, and get this, the red light ticket systems that were being implemented were not being done solely by the local police or sheriff's departments. No, contrary. They were done by a private security contractor. And they were cutting a break back to, a certain percentage back to the local law enforcement. And they found out that over a 3-year period in South Florida, that this security contracting company had generated $25 million in red light tickets, and the local police department essentially only got $6 million of those dollars. So they subbed it out to a private security contractor to surveil you, record your tag when you slightly ran a red light, send you a ticket that was imposed by civil penalties by the state, all under the auspice of control of a private security contractor who was handling all of it and giving a kickback back to the local police department. Well, the problem is, in Florida state law, a local police officer has to review every single ticket that is cited. Period. Not AI, not security contractor. And what Ticket Clinic found out when they started subpoenaing people was that there was local law enforcement that was not reviewing these tickets. The private security contractors were the only ones that were issuing the tickets. The law enforcement didn't even have to do anything about it. They basically sat back and collected a multi-million dollar check over a couple years from these red light cameras. And so goes our freedom, and so goes our liberty when we hand off our security and our freedom to other security contractors. This is why the United States military has relied so much on private military contractors for the last 2 decades now, because they can do things, they can go places, they can kill people that the United States military isn't legally allowed to do. So now we have built this gigantic military industrial complex that relies on hundreds of billions of dollars a year on a few main defense contractors, one of those being like Lockheed Martin, that makes so much money off war that it makes it virtually impossible for the United States to not stay in a perpetual state of war, because these military contractors pitch a fit and have so much leverage and so much control, they demand we go to war when they say we go to war. Oh, you don't want to talk about that. Oh, I know. I know people that work in Lockheed Martin. I know people that have worked with these security contractors. This is exactly why we consistently invade other countries all the time, because we have to keep the military-industrial complex fed with its hundreds of billions of dollars every single year. Also, too, in other news, I found this to be interesting because I've heard numerous reports now of people being detained at the border with Ebola. Whether or not that's factual, I don't know. We know a couple years ago there was an Ebola scare in the United States. Well, now the CDC has come out, along with the World Health Organization, and said the experimental Ebola vaccine that has been used to contain the outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo is effective.
Go.
This is released by the World Health Organization on Friday, by the way, guys.
Totally.
They go on to say that nearly 98,000 doses of the vaccine have been administered over the past 8 months, and they said it's 97% effective. All right, so sounds effective to me. The vaccine, which was developed by Merck. Oh, my gosh, Merck. I mean, can you imagine Merck being involved in something controversial? Oh, no, I couldn't. They wouldn't possibly manufacture the Gardasil HPV vaccine. They didn't do that. They didn't do anything else. It's either Merck or GlaxoSmithKline. These are the two big, heaviest hitters in the world. Merck said it was being used in a ring vaccination strategy. People who had close or high-risk contact with known Ebola cases were offered the vaccine first. They said while the vaccine is still unlicensed, listen closely to what I'm about to say to you guys. This is the punchline of the story right here. This is on statenews.com. While the vaccine is still unlicensed, a clinical trial that was conducted in Guinea near the end of West Africa Ebola outbreak showed the vaccine was highly effective. Based on the study, the WHO Vaccine Advisory Committee has recommended that the vaccine now be used as part of an arsenal of tools deployed to quell any outbreaks worldwide. The gold standard of trial involves randomly assigning some people to receive the vaccine and others to receive a placebo injection. So that's a random clinical study like this. So half the population would get a Ebola vaccine and half the people would get a placebo injection, and compare the infection rates in the two groups. Ah, but the World Health Organization says the vaccine has been determined to be too effective and it would be unethical to offer placebo injections rather than the vaccine. So
here
now we have a vaccine that was manufactured by Merck that is not even licensed, that was ran through clinical trials in Guinea near the West End, Africa, without any oversight whatsoever. Man, this is done in a different country. There is no oversight on these vaccines. And they're saying now the vaccine was so effective that it would be unethical to do true random assigned clinical studies on this, and they want to push this thing to the front of the list and recommend this vaccine be used worldwide now. Now, could this vaccine that was tested over there in New Guinea actually be effective at Ebola? Yeah, it really, really could have. There's no doubt about it. They could have come up with a very effective vaccine. Does that mean the vaccine that's going to get spread around the rest of the world and dumped on the United States like an atomic bomb once the CDC accepts this into its another onslaught of vaccine recommendation mandates to add it to 78 or 79 or 80, whatever the list has gotten up to now? No. There's absolutely no telling what this vaccine is going to have in it at the very end game. This is what Merck concocted to show that the vaccine had some positive effects when they tested in New Guinea unlicensed with no oversight, and now the World Health Organization is saying we need to allow this vaccine to be used worldwide, and we cannot have any significant clinical studies on it with placebo and live virus basically testing, because it's too effective and it would be unethical to test it in that realm. So be prepared, guys. They're telling you right now what they're about to do. There's a high probability they're about to introduce the Ebola virus or the Ebola vaccine through other parts of the world and into the United States very shortly, Dad.
Well, again, they're not going to talk about the shedding. Same as measles and mumps. How the people get the vaccine, spread Ebola.
Yeah.
You know, and just, you know, I told you guys this years ago. We started the show. I said, they're going to kill the planet or wipe out a bunch of the population through vaccines. or through biologicals. It's the end game. They got to drop the population by 6-7 billion people. They want to get rid of us. There's too many useless eaters to feed, and this is what they're going to do. This is what this whole thing has been doing, testing for mandatory vaccinations in New York City, testing the law, pushing the limits of the Constitution, testing the beta test, finding out what to do from a legal standpoint. That's what they do. Then they pass laws that can't be taken, how should I say this, they can't be challenged legally. And so this is where it's going to go. I've warned you about this. This is what the force stuff is all about. By the way, Donald Trump is now touting non-existence $450 billion in Saudi orders and 1 million jobs for the defense budget. You were talking about that earlier when we were talking about Lockheed Martin. And so it's not even true. It's not even a true statement. I mean, they have not ordered $450 billion. They have not ordered $110 billion. And they're not 1 million jobs in state. None of this stuff is true. You know, they may have talked about all this stuff, but they haven't did it. The U.S. approved the sale of $13.5 billion high-altitude air defense missile systems. They did do that. And so they did this, but Trump comes up with these numbers that don't make any sense, and it just kind of promotes herself. And then he says that China is offering a path to basically balancing the doggone trade deficit. And Trump's taking credit for this too. And it says that Trump offers a path to eliminate the U.S. trade difference, and is saying that they're going to allow us to send them $1 trillion worth of stuff in the next 5 years until 2014. Well, here's the problem, guys. We don't have the industrial infrastructure set up any longer to take and send out $1 trillion worth of stuff into China, much less they're going to buy it. All of these things they tell you over and over and over again are just fabrication. This is just all made up. And see, we have to understand that we have to look at what they're saying and then analyze what they're saying and see if it's reality or not. Guys, I love you. I appreciate you. I had the opportunity to pray for you guys again this morning. You guys are absolutely awesome. You guys rock. I'm so blessed to be part of y'all's lives and to have you guys listening and having the privilege to pray for you every day. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. And I know so many of you, you know, you go and you donate a certain amount of money every month because you're trying to support the show. Thank you for doing that. You have no idea what that means to us. It means so much. If it's $1, $5, $10, $100, whatever you do, you don't have to do that. I understand that. But when you do that, just lets me know that you're here for us and we're here for you. God bless you. Austin, I'll do the write-up and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Yes, absolutely, guys. Thank you so much for the continued support. Thank you for signing up for our free weekly newsletter. We put a lot of different articles out. We put different specials out, coupons out, and we send the daily show out on that email list every single day, making it as easy as possible for everyone to forward this show as we're trying to wake up the general population. It seems to be like we're actually doing an effective job now. The more I've noticed, the more people I'm starting to talk to, whether it be our show or Hagman's or in general, I feel like the alternative media is fighting a battle right now, and we are pushing forward and we are making a difference. And that's the most important aspect of it, is really waking people up to everything that's going on right now. So we thank you for your support of healthmasters.com. If you guys need anything, be sure to let us know. 1-800-726-1834. You can call us or email us on the website at healthmasters.com, and be sure to vote for the product of the week for tomorrow. And check out the other specials we have, the magnesium brain food on sale. We also have the new toothpaste we're starting to carry on the front page of the website, along with a CBD magnesium body balm. Lots of specials, lots of different things going on right now. So thank you for your support. We appreciate everything you do for Health Masters. Everyone have a blessed, safe, healthy night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.